So, Kristen, let's talk a little bit about feminist cinema.
Oh, feminist cinema. Everyone's favorite.
Everyone loves feminist cinema.
Everyone just loves feminist cinema.
So do you have a movie that you would say that you keep in your mind as a feminist cinema landmark?
Norma Rae.
Oh, Norma Rae. Okay.
Possibly Citizen Ruth.
Oh, all right. Another interesting one.
A lot of those Jane Fonda 1970s films.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of which ones specifically. Not Barbarella.
I was going to say not Barbarella.
I have a feeling, though, that I know why you're asking this.
I am asking because I'm going to put forth, as a landmark feminist movie, Bridesmaids, which is coming out today.
Bridesmaids, the Judd Apatow-produced movie. Judd Apatow, best known for the films Knocked Up.
Right.
The 40-Year-Old Virgin, Superbad.
Yep.
And Bridesmaids.
And now Bridesmaids, the all-female version of a Judd Apatow movie, or probably what most people are thinking in their minds is the all-female version of The Hangover, really.
Yes, I think right. A lot of people are making that comparison.
Right.
But, I mean, I'm dying to know where you're coming from on this. But before we delve into the feminist aspects of Kristen Wiig and
yes.
Maya Rudolph and company in Bridesmaids, let's introduce ourselves. This is Kristen Meinzer, producer for The Takeaway.
And I'm Rafer Guzman, movie critic for Newsday, and this is Movie Date.
Oh, Ann. I don't know what to say. You look... Megan, are you okay?
No.
Oh.
I think my dress was probably just tight.
Oh, my God. You got food poisoning from that restaurant, didn't you? Oh, my. Okay.
Oh, no.
Why is this happening?
All right, Rafer. Enlighten me. How is Bridesmaids, a movie that for everything the general public knows about it, probably the most famous thing they know about it other than the all-female cast is about vomiting and about diarrhea.
That's right.
And so a film that sounds more or less like a gross-out film, you're saying, could be a feminist breakthrough in cinema.
I think it is. And I think it is – you say it's more or less a gross-out film. I would say that's accurate. I think it is a gross-out film. You talked about the scene. I guess it's sort of becoming a kind of a famous scene where the women, group of bridesmaids and the bride, go to a fancy dress shop. And try on these, you know, $800,000 dresses. And because of some dubious lunch meat that they've just ingested, they begin losing control of their bowels. And I think this is clearly supposed to be the film's hair gel scene, right? The Something About Mary hair gel scene. I think they want this to be a talker, you know. If you go to the Bridesmaids website, you'll see a little animated reenactment.
No, I want to point out, this was the idea of Judd Apatow. Kristen Wiig did not want this in the script. She got talked into it. She said, fine, we'll play along, we'll shoot it, but we get the final say about whether to cut it. And in the end, she and her co-writer decided to keep it.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. So, I did not know that.
Yes.
Okay.
That is the case. So is that really feminist, or is that just a dude pushing a gross-out dude joke on a bunch of women?
Well, I don't know. I mean...
Well, let's get... Why do you think losing control of one's bowels is feminist in the first place? Let's get to that. The more important question here, Rafer.
Well, Kristen, when you put it that way. But here's why. Because I think that normally in the movies, women don't get to do this kind of physical comedy. Physical comedy, for the most part, requires a kind of self-humiliation, a kind of self-degradation that is largely the purview of men. You know, I can't think of any real female equivalent to, say, Will Ferrell, John Belushi, possibly even Steve Martin. There aren't any female comedians that will do that kind of slapstick, that kind of gross-out humor. And I think it's because we like to think, or at least the movies like to think, that women are above that. That kind of stuff is unladylike. It's not funny to us to see a woman conked on the head or, have her face shoved in some mud or humiliated in any way. And I feel that by doing these kinds of things in the movie, it's a blow for equality, Kristen. I think these women have been able to show that they can do this stuff just as well.
Equal as opportunity the men. Farting.
That's right.
Equal opportunity barfing and right. diarrhea, the whole thing. But you know what, Rafer? I have to disagree with you.
Okay.
I think women have been, for as long as there's been vaudeville, TV, movies, there have been women who are willing to humiliate themselves, look wacky. I mean, think about the queen of comedy, and I'm talking about Lucille Ball here.
Sure.
She was a very beautiful woman, actually considered a pinup girl at one point. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And she had no problem being drunk and stupid in a scene. She had
yes.
no problem stuffing her face with food to the point of it being disgusting and falling out of her mouth. She had
right.
no problem being wrestled with put on makeup to make it look like her teeth were knocked out, to make mm-hmm. herself look homeless, to make herself look a lot of stupid, stupid things.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree.
And I think this has been around for a long time, and I think she really made it happen. But then I don't know what happened, that there was a period of, it seems like just an absence of women doing that kind of stuff.
Right. I mean, you're bringing
up
Lucille
Ball. But I don't think this
Ball.
Is new. Yeah.
I mean, you're right. It's not brand new. It's not, it's not anything we've never seen before. But I mean,
and
you know,
I think if Lucille Ball was around today, she would be doing probably the vomit jokes and so on, because our level of what we consider our threshold of crassness has changed a lot.
That's true. I mean, also we should say she was a TV star. Mostly it was I Love Lucy. But mm-hmm. I mean, I take your point. And when I was looking back in my mind to try to think of other female comedians that have crossed some of these unladylike boundaries, people like Joan Rivers or like Roseanne Barr mm-hmm. or someone like that, or possibly even Phyllis Diller. With Lucille Ball, again, the only one that really would do this kind of what you might call kind of crude or at least broad physical comedy, you're talking about the 40s and 50s. I mean, you're going a long time back. There has been no other Lucille Ball. I mean, not even – just women just don't do slapstick. They don't do pratfalls. They don't do the barf jokes, the poop jokes. There's the I don't know if you saw the most recent Farrelly Brothers movie, Hall Pass, with Owen Wilson.
Oh yeah, I didn't end up seeing that.
Yeah, I mean,
but I do think the Farrelly Brothers are kind of funny.
I think the Farrelly Brothers are very funny, or at least they can be.
Mm-hmm.
There's a scene in that. Typical Farrelly Brothers scene with a guy who's actually squatting and pooping on a golf course, right? We watch him do it, mm-hmm. You see everything. I'm not saying women are going to get there necessarily or that they should. Or that
well,
anyone,
do you really
that
see
anyone should.
Everything?
Well, I mean, it's there. I mean, you may not see the actual action itself, but you see the aftermath. Let's put it that way. And that's a typical Farrelly Brothers moment. That is the kind of scene that you don't think about much because it's a guy. You imagine a guy doing that. A guy doing that is funny. A woman doing that, generally speaking, not funny.
Rafer,
it's not...
I have to tell you something you might not know.
Okay.
In real life,
yes,
women poo.
I know.
You do. You've heard this before.
I know this. There's an entire Jonathan Swift poem about a woman named Celia. A whole poem he wrote about a guy who walks into his beloved's bedchamber and discovers her chamber pot underneath her bed.
No.
I think in the poem it may be full. I can't remember if it's empty or full.
God.
But he agonizes. He agonizes over the fact that she goes poo, because this has destroyed this ideal that he had of her. He can't imagine this beautiful, wonderful, beloved woman of his using the chamber pot. And I feel like that's still an attitude in men to this day. We don't want to think of women doing such unladylike, such undainty things. And I think it's great to see Kristen Wiig making an ass out of herself, getting drunk on the plane. One of my favorite scenes in the film is the very opening scene where she's having this flailing sex with John Hamm. It's a great scene. You're laughing because that scene was funny.
I'm laughing because I like the idea that sex can be depicted on film as being not great.
Yes.
And
yes.
I don't think that we see enough of that.
I totally agree.
Because there's a lot of mediocre sex and bad sex out there, but we just never see it in the films.
I totally agree. And I think it's very funny they had John Hamm,
the foxiest
sort of,
man on TV.
Right. as the suave, Don Draper persona, kind of upending that whole, image he's got. And I thought it was funny, and I thought he was actually very good. But things like that, I just feel like you don't see from the women's from the woman's perspective in movies often enough.
So you think this is a feminist film because it's more humanizing? It's showing women doing stuff that real women do. Real women have mediocre lovers. Real women poo. Real women throw up. Real women do all of these things. And it's liberating to see them do that.
I think it is. I think it is. I think it's liberating. I think it's fun. I think it, you could say it lowers the bar. I would like to say it levels the playing field. Do you know what I mean?
Well, do you also find it liberating then when men are in movies crying?
I mean, to an extent, I suppose. I mean, I do think that's one of the great things about the bromances from Judd Apatow. I do think it's nice to see guys having these kinds of relationships and being in their way kind of emotional and affectionate with each other.
But he never pushes the boundaries all the way with men as he did with women in this movie. He never really lets them say I love you without being totally embarrassed about it.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't know. I mean, do you remember I Love You, Man?
Yeah, and they were totally embarrassed the whole time saying,
But that's not true. But the final wedding scene winds up becoming a wedding between the two guys, right? They just keep saying how much they love each other over and over until the wife has to step in and stop them. I mean, they're doing it in front of everybody.
That's true.
I mean, I think that stuff is there. And, you know, and here's the other thing. That's real. Guys don't hold each other's faces in their hands and say, you know, earnestly, I really love you.
I saw you doing that downstairs, Ray, with John Hockenberry.
With the security guard.
and both of them.
Me and John.
One after the other.
I had one face on each hand. I love you guys. But that's real, the way that that happens. You know what I mean? And I think that this is a real depiction of women in some ways. This seems – Kristen Wiig's character in particular. I mean, everyone else in the film is a bit of a caricature, right? Mm-hmm. But I mean, Kristen Wiig's character, Annie, I found her very believable and likable and lovable and empathetic because she goes through so much humiliation in the film. Her life is just one long humiliation, and we all know what that feels like. That's kind of what life is. Life is one long series of humiliations.
It is, but I mean, I do have to say this about Kristen Wiig's character. I do think she was a caricature, and she was specifically this one character she plays in every skit on Saturday Night Live. Have you seen her on Saturday Night Live?
You know, I've not seen much Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, she's the irritating, socially awkward, never stops talking, I'm going to keep talking and do something irritating.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about.
But I don't think – but she wasn't the socially awkward bizarro role went to Melissa McCarthy in this movie, the one who plays who's the overweight, kind of crass.
Oh, I loved her.
Yeah, and she's very funny. Now, wait a minute. You loved her?
Yes.
You loved her, but you're still – but.
She was strong, and she said, you don't get rescued, you rescue yourself, lady.
That's true.
And that was the most feminist thing about the film to me.
That's a very good scene. That scene was the most feminist thing
in the whole film.
But she's also the grossest,
and
crassest
and
character.
I don't think she's gross and more crass than anybody else there.
When she comes onto the air marshal in the plane?
That's crass.
Talking about that steam heat?
Isn't anybody – that's crass.
I can't explain that line any further here on the air. But that
might just be a case of you're considering it crass because she's not a beautiful woman.
I think even if a beautiful woman had said that to me, that would send some alarm bells ringing in my head.
I think when a woman comes onto a man and she looks like a Playboy model, it's fine. But when a woman comes onto a man and she looks kind of, in this movie, like a man.
Yeah.
I think that's where you're finding it crass.
I think you have a fair point there.
Yeah, I think I concede. Yeah, but I do think that she was the most feminist thing about the film.
Okay, that's interesting.
Not the pooing and the, you know, vomiting and all that stuff. I mean, I think that's fine and good. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a tiny part of me that's just a little tiny bit irritated about the whole hullabaloo around this film. This could be a breakthrough. We could get male audiences into an all-women's film. This could be a movie that men see without their girlfriends. And it kind of bugs me that everyone's trying so hard to get men into the theater without women. Why not cater to the women once in a while? Women make up 55% of film audiences, according to the MPAA. Why don't we let women have films that are for them? Just as so many films are just for men, why don't we just let that happen and be okay with it?
As a professional movie critic who is forced to see pretty much every Hollywood release, I am going to say, you guys have plenty of movies to go see, and I see them all. I see It's Complicated. I see Something Borrowed. I see 27 Dresses. I see all these movies. There are plenty of movies out there for women. And here's the thing. Most of the movies that I see that are oriented towards women strike me as kind of bad for women, right? Sex and the City, right? Women have plenty of movies, and I would much rather see them, you know, kind of humanized, as you were saying, in this movie than to see them going through the usual, you know, oh, my boyfriend this, and oh, what's going to happen to my wedding, and will I get married? I would much rather see a movie like Bridesmaids than a movie like Something Borrowed.
I can see where you're coming from. And that being said, I enjoyed it. I just didn't think it was a feminist breakthrough.
Okay, that's interesting. So let me ask you this. Are there any other movies in the past few years that you think were more along the lines of a female empowering movie, a movie that you felt really spoke to women in a non-condescending, non-pandering way?
Oh, gosh. I bet you're not going to let me choose Will and Kate, A Royal Romance on Lifetime TV, are you?
Kristen, I think you and I are at an impasse.
So it goes.
Did you know that you can follow Movie Date on Twitter and Facebook? You can also give us feedback on the podcast and tell us what movies you want us to see next.
Log on to themoviedate.org to find out more. And thanks so much for listening.